Welcome to the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. We're going to explore ways to sharpen our diagnostic skills, find learning resources, and hear from experts in the automotive field. Hey, have you ever been faced with the challenge of sourcing, installing, and programming a used control module in a vehicle? I know a lot of us have. It seems to be happening more and more often today with the volume of control modules on vehicles, the cost of some new ones, or even the availability of new control modules. In some cases, used may be the only option. So what do you do here? I strongly recommend checking out SJ Auto Solutions and Tommy Oliva. Tommy offers a cloning service for used control modules to make these things plug and play for the vehicle that you're working on. In a lot of cases, he is also able to source the control modules if you're unable to locate one for the vehicle that you're working on. But once you get connected with Tommy, he's going to offer fantastic support from start to finish to make sure that that control module is going to work in your application. He's also got tech support that he offers through his website, along with some free resources there as well on information about used control module programming. So make sure to check out SJ Auto Solutions. I can't recommend that enough. This podcast is brought to you by Jarhead Diagnostics. Jarhead Diagnostics manufactures in-house diagnostic equipment and storage solutions, as well as distributes for companies like Pico, ATS, and Topdon. One of my favorite tools that I have bought from Brandon and Jarhead Diag is the case for the U-Scope. If you don't have a U-Scope, you probably should, but if you have one, you got to get one of these 3D printed cases, has a magnet on it, has a full-size BNC lead that you can connect to, and it gets rid of the weak point of that scope, which is the mini BNC connection, which is pretty fragile. This case makes this thing nice and secure and makes it an even better tool than it was. So check out jarheaddiag.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey, what's going on, automotive world? Welcome to another episode of the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. My name is Sean Tipping. I'll be your host for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining me and welcome to the show. I am back home in the States after an amazing trip down to Australia, and that's actually what I wanted to talk about today. Just got back this week, did a little bit of work getting adjusted back to the time zone after the trip. Didn't have any particularly interesting cars to talk about. And so really the only thing on my mind that I'd like to share with everybody is about my trip to Australia. A lot of you that are listening in Australia know quite a bit about it. You were there. But for everybody else in the States and not there, I would like to share the experience because it was really cool. Both the exploring that we did in Australia, getting there and getting back, but then also the automotive event that occurred there and all of the excellent people that I met within the automotive industry in Australia. So I'm going to just start off with getting down there. I've never done an international flight before. I mean, the farthest I had been outside of the States prior was I went to Mexico a couple times, which really isn't even that far of a flight and not that far outside of the U.S. I mean, it's on the same continent. This was completely different. We had to take three flights to get there. One to Phoenix from Minneapolis, and then from Phoenix to L.A., which is just kind of an up and down. But then the long flight goes from Los Angeles to Sydney across the Pacific. And that one is 15, 16 hours to get there in a tube. It's a long time in a plane. I'd never experienced that before. And they accommodate you pretty well. We flew American Airlines and I wasn't able to sleep. I tried. I had the neck pillow. I had the eye mask, earplugs. I tried all that stuff. I'd sleep for maybe 10 minutes. The plane would kind of shift a little bit like planes do, and I'd wake back up. So didn't get a whole lot of sleep on the way down there. So, you know, pretty exhausted that first day. But I mean, other than that, the plane ride was pretty good. They have in-flight entertainment. You can watch movies, although that didn't work on the way back, which kind of sucked because we were expecting it and their system was down. But on the way to Sydney, we had, you know, movies to watch, brought a book, got some reading in. I did a little class prep on the way down as well. Kept myself occupied, but that is a long time to sit in a tube. We saw in the first class area, they had like these pods you could lay down in, and maybe I could actually sleep, you know, if I was in one of those, but that's obviously way more money to get the first class. The seats that we were in, they would recline and you had some footrests, and some people did just pass out the whole time. I had somebody suggest to me, do some red wine and some aspirin and you'll be out. I tried the wine on the way back because they have that, you know, they have to serve you food and all that stuff, and it still didn't work for me, but you know, it is what it is, and that's what you got to do to get down there. And it's actually pretty crazy to think that you can traverse the entire Pacific Ocean in 16 hours. It's pretty wild. And the size of the aircraft too, like I'd never been on a plane that big. It was a Boeing 777, and it's such a big thing. When you get into it, you're like, this is huge. And then it takes off, it flies, and it goes 500 miles an hour in the air. It's pretty crazy. But anyways, we get down there, we go to Sydney. There's a time change of about 15 hours. Well, actually it was, I think it was 16 hours. And then they had their daylight savings time because it's, you know, we're in the spring going into summer here. They're in the autumn going into winter there, and they had their daylight savings time. So we had a 16 hour time change, and then while we were there, it switched to a 15 hour time change. But either way, they're ahead of us by that amount of time. So quite often it's the next day there, which made any communication with home a little confusing on like, what day is it? But you're obviously a little screwed up with the time change. And it took a few days for sure to get used to that. Like I would just wake up at like 4 a.m. and be completely awake and then be, you know, kind of sleepy in the middle of the day. And I mean, yeah, it was about a week to get adjusted to that while we were down there. Actually, probably just enough time down there to get fully adjusted before we flew back. And now I'm still screwed up back home. You know, wake up in the middle of the night and I'm hungry and falling asleep when I get home, sit on the couch, but we'll get adjusted back. It'll be fine. And again, totally, totally worth it. So once we were down there, we had a few days in Sydney before we actually flew down to the event. And maybe I should start with that. Is the reason I was going to Australia is the AAAA, or Australian Automotive Aftermarket Association, or you could also just say the awesome group, and they have a expo, which is the Auto Aftermarket Expo in Melbourne. And this is a big trade expo. All kinds of vendors come, all kinds of people from the automotive industry in Australia, New Zealand, I saw Thailand, China, like lots and lots of people were at this event, but they also had technical training. And that's the reason that I was invited, was to present some technical training at this event for the people that are attending. So that's why we're headed down there, and I'll get to more about the event, because it was really awesome. But once we got into Sydney, we had a few days to explore. And I should say I went with my girlfriend, Katie. She came down with me. So that was pretty cool too. Kind of treated it like a mini vacation along with the work side of it, which didn't even really feel like work, to be totally honest with you. But we checked out Sydney, which is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful part of the world. If you ever get a chance to go, I would 100% recommend doing that. It is such a cool city. It's on the water and it's in the harbor. And so, I mean, a lot of the travel within different spots within Sydney is done via ferry. You could just hop on these ferries and, you know, pick which one and where you want to go. And it's a, you know, 15, 20 minute ferry ride to, you know, the other side of the harbor. And there was so much to explore. You know, we saw the cathedral down there. Of course, went to the Opera House, the Botanic Gardens, just everything in the city of Sydney. There's big shopping centers and all kinds of restaurants. The food was absolutely amazing. Kind of interesting, the portion sizes, from my perspective at least, seem to be smaller than what it is in the U.S. And very possible that that's the case all over the world, because we tend to eat quite a bit here in the States. But the food itself was really, really good. We went to a whole bunch of different restaurants, steakhouse, and all kinds of different stuff. It was awesome. The coffee is like a whole culture down there, and they have different names for things. I had to figure out the terminology of, I usually just drink a black coffee, and that's a long black. That's how you order it. But it was definitely different. I would say stronger, but also there's more like flavor to it. I really did enjoy it. We had coffee just about every day, and I enjoyed that part of it quite a bit. We also did some kayaking in Sydney Harbor, and we went to a couple beaches that you really can only access via the water. There's not really an easy way to drive or walk there. Hung out there for a bit. I tried driving, which it's on the opposite side of the car, and I'm not so unfamiliar with that. I used to work on the post office trucks and their right-hand drive, but the opposite side of the road thing, that was pretty crazy. And I drove to Bondi Beach and back in a vehicle, and it was an experience. I was good with that amount of driving. I didn't need to do any more, and it would sure take a long while to get used to being on that side of the road and, you know, turning into the correct lane, roundabouts. I almost turned the wrong way in a roundabout, but that's quite the experience. If you ever get a chance to do it, I'd say go for it and try it and see what happens. A lot of the beaches that we went to, there would be walking paths, you know, along the shore and for miles and miles. And you can just walk and check out all the sites and the beaches along the way. And we did that for a couple different places within Sydney and Bondi, and took a ton of pictures and checked out all the beaches. The weather was awesome. It rained the first day we were down there, and then it was, you know, 70s the whole rest of the time. Just absolutely beautiful. I think Manly Beach was probably our favorite spot within Sydney that we checked out. So shout out to you there, Jeff. That was definitely a cool place. You shoot over there on the ferry, and they got all kinds of cool stuff there. One thing I'll say about Sydney, and actually this was true of Melbourne as well, but we noticed this, and we noticed it the whole time. Everybody runs there. And what I mean, like, out for a run for fitness purposes, but it was constant and it was any time of the day, right? Like, you kind of expect to see people running in the morning. We were like taken back because it was like so many people. It was like, is there a race going on today? No, that was just how it was every day. People were out running, but it didn't stop in the morning. It continued throughout the whole day into the night. I mean, there was multiple times we were walking somewhere at 9-10 o'clock at night, and there's people out running. And it was kind of cool just to see, like, there's definitely a culture around, you know, fitness and being healthy there that I can definitely appreciate. And it did make me want to run, and I actually did go for a run when I was in Melbourne with Peter and Matt. And I am really out of shape when it comes to running. I don't do that very often, but it was good to get out there, and it's a good way to start the day. Good exercise. So that I thought was particularly interesting, that it was just the volume of people that were out running constantly. While we were there, there were some other trainers that were coming from Europe. And so this was Diagnose Dan Martin and Jurgen, and they're involved with the DiagnoseDan TSB company, which you should check that out. They've got a ton of really good information. It's like a information database, you know, almost similar to like kind of what Identifix has here in the States, but for a lot of European makes. And they were over there to do some technical training as well. And I'd seen a lot of Dan's videos on YouTube. He's got a pretty big YouTube channel, but meeting these guys in person was so much fun. Excellent sense of humor. I was laughing for most of the time I was there between them and Jeff and Costa. There was always some type of joke going on. It was really, really funny, but they, really intelligent as well too. They shared some of their info and I didn't get to take any of their classes. I wished I would have been able to, but really intelligent. And also if you ever meet these guys, take them out to a karaoke bar because the singing skills will surprise you. that was a lot of fun. We did that one night and absolute blast, but great guys, really cool to meet them. So if you ever get a chance, definitely do that. It was kind of just like a, you know, a big cultural meetup because we had people from Europe, people from the States, and obviously Australia all hanging out, exchanging stories. And, you know, one of the things there was like, it's very interesting to see. Yeah, there's differences. There's definitely differences, but there are a lot of similarities, not only between the personality types of the people involved, like this industry does seem to attract a specific type of person with certain interests and a certain sense of humor seems to be a common theme too. But then also just the challenges that we're up against are very similar across the board, right? Like fixing cars is fixing cars. Now, I will say, on the Australian side of things, and this was made very present to me throughout my time there, is that traditionally speaking there, they have had an extreme lack of information or access to information when it comes to fixing cars. I use some wiring diagrams in my classes and we reference service info like you do in a class because we're using it all the time. And although they do have ASRNOW, which is a version of NASTIF that is helping the aftermarket get access to this sort of thing, it's not 100% there yet. And the information that they do have, especially when it comes to like repair procedures, you know, exploded diagrams, wiring diagrams, is extremely limited. A couple of the people were showing me their information systems that they had available and what's actually in there. And I mean, it's like nothing compared to what we have here in the States. And I got to hand it to anybody down there that's trying to do this stuff with such a lack of information. It's got to make everything so much more difficult. And so, boy, we don't have anything to complain about here in the U.S. I'll tell you that right now. But that was interesting. But beyond, you know, stuff like that, we found a lot of commonality in what we do, even though we're on three separate continents, which was pretty cool. After a few days in Sydney, we flew down to Melbourne, which is about an hour flight. It's on the southeastern, you know, corner of the continent there. And this is where the event actually was held. And it was at the Melbourne Convention Center, which is a massive, massive place. And it started on Wednesday. And the expo didn't actually start until Thursday, but we had technical training on Wednesday. And so I had four classes that I presented. There was circuit analysis, parasitic draws, network diagnostics, and then how to diagnose or how to condemn a control module. I am happy to have Automotive Seminars as a sponsor for the show. Now, if you're not familiar, Automotive Seminars is a diagnostic technician training company. They've got a website that there'll be a link to in the show notes. And what they offer is top-notch training to technicians like us in the field. I've been taking their training courses for years and have got a ton of benefit out of it. They've got top-notch instructors, John Thornton, Scott Shotton, Scott Manna, and every other month, they've got a two-night course that you can sign up for. Join in ask questions. And afterwards, you've paid for the course, you can access a recorded version whenever you want. You can rewatch the class 2 years later in case you wanted some details on it. And that is a fantastic feature. So make sure to check out the website to see what courses they have available and what's coming up in the future. And I'd been working on these classes. I had some versions of them from both when I was teaching at the college, but also taking, I revamped everything to accommodate more of a professional level, but then also, you know, put in the classes, the case studies from me doing mobile and what I see text getting hung up on and stuff like that. And I really enjoyed being able to get back up in front of people instructing. I haven't done much of that here and there. I presented a class in October and I've done a couple at Vision for real brief periods, but this was four-hour classes. And I had some like sinus throat thing going on and I lost my voice like the first day that I was up there talking. Like you, and usually you do. Like that happened to me when I was teaching at the college. My first day back in the fall, or that first week, my voice would just be toast. And then you adapt and you're fine. And it took me the 4 days before I really like got my voice back. So I utilized the mic as much as I could and made it through it with some water and some cough drops. But the classes I thought went really well. And what I mean by that is the attendance was good and the interaction with the people who attended was also really good. Great questions, great comments. People came up after the classes or while we were on break and had a ton of amazing conversations with people. Really, really smart individuals that are doing some pretty cool stuff with, again, limited resources. That, again, that's the biggest one. It's like, you know, it's one thing here if you have the option to access factory service information, but you choose not to for whatever reason. You can, you know, get around things and use backdoor methods and stuff like that. That's kind of your choice in the States. Like maybe you're doing it to save money. But they're like, that's their only option. And they're figuring this stuff out. They're still getting these cars fixed, which again, I got to hand it to everybody, but had a lot of those kinds of conversations. And that's where I heard about, you know, here's what we have access to. And you're showing us this, like, you know, you have connector numbers and you can click on hyperlinks and diagrams and they don't have any of that stuff. Again, really impressed with what is being done there with a limited amount of access. But it does sound like, based on what I was told, things are improving there with the Azra thing. Hopefully that can continue and they get access to what they need to fix the cars. But we also checked out the expo, which was massive. This was huge. I mean, I think it was bigger than the one at Vision, which is probably the biggest expo that I've been to personally. I haven't been to Apex or SEMA. I think those are pretty large as well. But this was huge. Took me a couple days to get around and see everything, but they had, you know, all the vendors and they had a high voltage electric zone and a whole like quarter of the expo dedicated just to collision repair. It was pretty big, all kinds of different vendors for just about every tool or software or thing you could think of in the automotive industry. So I spent some time in there talking to people and checking out all the different booths. They also had some networking events. So the Garage Network, which Jeff and Costa are a part of, and Peter as well, they had a networking event, which we went to one night, and they brought us along and got to hang out there. And again, talk with so many awesome people. I talked to so many people. It was almost overwhelming by the end of it. 'Cause I'm trying to remember, you know, everybody's name and all the conversations we had. And it got to be so much. I'm just like, wow, I have talked to so many people over the last 10 days. It's just crazy, but all of it was so good. Everybody was so kind and welcoming. Like nobody really took themselves too seriously, at least that I met. And that was very refreshing because I can't say that's always true from my experiences in the automotive industry. Now, again, a lot of really good people in the automotive industry here in the States too, but there's also a lot of ego. And I don't think anybody can deny that is the case. And I didn't experience any of that while we were down there. Everybody was so cool and easy to talk with and had lots to share. And one of the things that was shared with me, we got to tour the Kangen Institute down there, which is real close to the convention center. But this is a technical training center for people entering the field. And this place was probably the most advanced training institute that I have ever seen. Absolutely wild how much has been invested into that place and the different sections of training that they have. I mean, there's an entire section dedicated to electric vehicles and high voltage batteries. There's diesel, there's truck, there's tractors, there's off-road equipment, motorcycles, four-wheelers, all of this different stuff. But then the quality of the institute as well. I mean, the people who designed it they obviously had automotive in mind. I mean, the front of the building's this big checkered flag. There's one part of the building that's literally built to look like a computer chip, which is pretty cool. Like the outside of the building has these big legs that come off of it, and they look like the legs that would be on like an EEPROM chip. I got a picture of it. I was nerding out on that quite a bit once the guy pointed it out. But even like the pavement that was laid on the walkway up to it has like nuts and bolts in it on purpose. It's like little details like that all over the school. It was so, so cool. And they said they have like 4,000 students that attend there at any one given time. So if you're ever in Melbourne, make sure to check that out. That's pretty cool. And, you know, one of the things that was explained to me too about, you know, becoming a technician in Australia is they have different paths for their technicians. You can go on the path and you have specific training to become a repair technician, or you can be an auto electric technician, which is two completely different things and completely different training and completely different jobs, which we don't have here in the States. It's like you're a mechanic. Traditionally, like you go to school to be an auto technician and here's a wrench and a voltmeter. Good luck do it all. They split that up and they split up the pathways for their technicians as well, which I found really, really interesting and honestly kind of plays to where I think the industry is going is specialization. Instead of trying to do it all, will focus in on one particular area of the car or of the industry and become really good at that. And you're going to be more successful than if you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to do everything on the vehicle. So after that event was done, we flew back to Sydney. We were there for one more day, got to do the final things we wanted to and hang out with Jeff and Costa and Dan and Martin and Jurgen one more time before we headed home. And that's one thing I do want to put out a major, major thank you. And I know I've done this on Facebook already and I did it in person and I'll do it again. But Jeff and Costa of the Garage Network, these two guys, man, I'll tell you what, never in my life would I have expected to be treated as well as we were by these two guys. They went above and beyond and were so accommodating and selfless and helpful. It made that experience absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I can't say enough about what those two guys did. Really, truly, I can't even put it into words, and I can't, you know, repay them for what we experienced. It's so cool. So thank you again to those two and the Garage Network in general, and Peter and the AAA, you know, all of it was so welcoming, you know, for somebody coming, you know, from the other side of the planet. They even wanted me to come over there in the first place. Like I was humbled by it, but then the whole experience really humbled me as well too. Like who am I, you know, to deserve all this? I'm just coming down to do some technical training, but again, such good people. And I really wanted to stress that, you know, it just, I recommend anybody in Australia that's not already connected with the Garage Network, go do it, get involved with the stuff that they have going on, because they are really, really improving the industry. But that's pretty much it. We flew back. Like I said, the in-flight entertainment was busted on the way back, so I got some more reading in, and then they lost our luggage on the last leg of the trip, but we did eventually get it. So tired when we got back. I'm getting pretty adjusted now, and I should be fine in about a week. I'm back at it, refreshed, ready to go. But that was my trip to Australia. So I wanted to share that with everybody. If you were there, again, it's great to meet everybody and talk with everyone. Otherwise, we're going to get ramped back up here with the podcast. I know the last few weeks there's been no video to go along with the episodes, kind of pressed on time. And they've been a little shorter, but we're going to get back to the interviews, back to the case studies, back to the videos, and we'll keep going strong with this thing. So that's about it for what I got today. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to everybody in Australia. But with that out of the way, let's get out there and start fixing the world one car at a time.